Today's shiur is a Masechta Chul on Daf Kuf Yud Beis. We will begin on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, 9 lines from the bottom of the Amud, at the end of the line with the words Rav Huna. We are in the middle of a famous Shas Sugya known as Noisen Tam Bar Noisen Tam, which is known by its short form Nat Bar Nat. And this Sugya began on the first wide line of the Gemara, where we learned Itmor Dagim Sha'alu Bekaira. If we had, as Rashi explained, hot fish that were roasted, and they were taken from the roaster, Sha'alu Bekaira, they were put on a meat plate. Rav Omer Asul Achlam Bekutach. Rav says that they are prohibited from being eaten together with Kutach, which is a dairy dip. Ushmuel Omer, and Shmuel says, Mutul Achlam Bekutach. One is allowed to eat them with a dairy dip. And the Gemara gave the reasons, because Rav Omer Asur Noisen Tam Hu. Ushmuel Omer Mutter Noisen Tam Bar Noisen Tam Hu. So Rav held that not only is mamish asr, something that you see, an isr that you see, a mixture of meat and milk in our case together, but even the taste, the tam of that is also prohibited, and it makes no difference whether it's the first time that we had the taste or it's the second time. In other words, here, from the original meat taste that went into the plate, and then from there that taste went into the fish. So Shmuel looks at it as being diluted. It's twice removed from the original meat until it came into the fish. First from the meat in the plate, and then from the plate into the fish. And so Shmuel's of the opinion that when it's twice removed, it's so weak that one is permitted to eat that. That's not considered meat, and one is permitted to eat it together with the dairy dipped kuta. However, Rav is of the opinion that the taste does not get diminished, and therefore, even if it went from the meat to the plate and then from the plate to the fish, it would be prohibited to eat the fish together with the kutach. So we began the sugya yesterday, and today we are going to go into this sugya in more depth. And the Gemara begins 9 lines from the bottom of the Yomid with a story. Rav Huna, Rav Chiya bar Ashi, Avi Yasvi. Rav Huna and Rav Chiya bar Ashi were sitting. Chad b'hai gisa d'mavra d'sura. One was sitting on this side of the crossing of the river Sura, v'chad b'hai gisa d'mavra, and one was sitting on the other side of the crossing. And the river, as Rashi says, was between them. Lamar Isilei Dagim Sha'alu Bekara V'achol Bekutach. To one of these distinguished Rabbanim, they brought fish, hot fish, that had been placed on a meat plate, and he ate it together with the dairy dip. Lamar, and to the other Chashiva Rav, Isilei Te'enim V'anovim B'toich HaSuda, they brought him figs and grapes in the middle of the Suda, v'ochel, he ate, v'loy birich. He didn't make a bracha before eating the figs or the grapes, and he didn't make a special after bracha. It was all part of the Suda, and he had made a bracha at the beginning of eating the meal, and he benched at the end, but he didn't make a specific bracha for the figs and the grapes. So when these two incidents happened, the Gemara relates, Mar Amalei L'chavrei, one said to his friend, Yasma, as Rashi, the last Rashi on the Amud says, Beloy Das, you orphan, you're orphaned from what? From knowledge. You don't have knowledge in this incident. Ovid Rabbi Chochi, did your master, did your teacher do like you did? Umar Amalei L'chavri, and the other one said to the friend the same thing when he noticed what his friend had done. Yasma, you orphan, you were bereft from knowledge, from Torah knowledge. Ovid Rabbi Chochi, did your Rebbe, did he do as you did? In other words, each one was criticizing the other. One criticized the other why he ate the fish that were on a meat dish and he ate it together with a dairy dip. And the other criticized his friend for not making a bracha on the figs and the grapes that were served in the middle of the meal. So each one defended what he had done. Mar Amalei L'chavrei, the one who had eaten the fish together with the kutach, said, Ano, I kishmul sfirli. I hold like Shmuel, like we learned in yesterday's shir, that Shmuel holds such a incident is permitted because it's not bar nat. The tam of the meat has become diminished. It's no longer considered meat, and therefore one is able to eat it with the kutach. Umar Amalei L'chavrei, and the other one said to his friend, in defense of why he had not made a bracha on the figs and the grapes, Ana Kereb Chiya, or as Taisus, the second last Taisus on the Yomid, his gears is, Kereb Chiya Barabbas, really. I'm of the opinion like Kereb Chiya Barabbas. Detani, because we learned Rav Chiya learnt in that brisa in Masechta Brachos, pas poteres kol minei maichel, that in the middle of a meal, bread frees all foods. One does not have to make a bracha before or after the foods that are eaten in the middle of a meal. And that's why I didn't make a bracha on the Te'enim and the Anovim. The Yayin and wine, poiter kol minei mashkin. It frees any mashkin that is drunk between the bracha Rishayna that's made over the wine and the bracha Achrona, the after bracha that's made over the wine, any other beverage that is drunk in between, one is not required to make a bracha before and after that other beverage. Now Rashi explains on Te'enim Vanovim, let's see the Rashi inside, two lines from the bottom of the Amud, Loy Asu Leliftan. They didn't come to be spread on the bread, the figs or the grapes, the kaimelon, and in Masechta Brachos of Mem Aleph Amud Beis, we have learned, Dvorim Aboim La'achar Suda, things that are normally brought after the Suda. In other words, they're brought as a dessert, Kolomer, HaRegilim Lovel La'achar Suda, they're usually brought after the Suda is completed. To Unin Bracha, they require a Bracha, Bein Lefneim U'Bein La'achreim, before and after they are eaten, Afilu Havim B'taych HaSuda, even if they were brought instead of after the meal. They're brought in the middle of the meal, they're still required to have a bracha before and after, the kivan de einan liftan, because since they are not made to spread, ein hapas paitrosan, the pas does not free them. However, Rav Chiya bar Abba was of the opinion that pas poiteres kol minei maichel, that bread does free all foods that are brought in the middle of the meal. And that's what the one here who didn't make a bracha on the figs and the grapes said, I hold like Rav Chiya, who disagrees. However, as Tosfos says in the second bottom Tosfos, Divrei Maskar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Ein halacha kein, the halacha is not like Rav Chiya bar Abba, Ela k'napaskina b'perkeitz and mevorchem, only the halacha is as we paskin there in Brachas Daf Mem Aleph Amud Beis. But here we have a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, what in fact is the halacha. According to Rashi, the halacha, as we saw from the last line here of the Rashi, that if it's not freed by the bread, then it requires a bracha before and after. So it would be necessary here to make a bo repriya eitz on the fruit before it's eaten, and to make a al ha'eitz, a bracha achrona, after it's eaten, even though it's in the middle of the meal, according to Rashi. However, Tosfos disagrees, and Tosfos holds that a bracha achrona is not required, but a bracha rishona is required. Whereas Rav Chiya bar Abba held that no bracha is required, not rishona or achrona. We paskin, according to Tosfos, that a bracha rishona is required if it's in the middle of a meal, but a bracha achrona is not required, that the birchas hamazon will free. It is not necessary to make a al ha'etz, a bracha main shalosh, after the eating of the fruit. So we have here a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, what in fact is the halacha concerning the other dinim here, the Shmuel, Kishmuel Sirle, in terms of nat bar nat, there the halacha is like Shmuel, that nat bar nat is mutter. It is mutter to eat a dogim on a kara besori, on a meat plate, and then to eat it together with kutach. We do pasuk like Shmuel. And concerning the third halacha that we learned here of Rav Chiya bar Abba, that yayin poiter kol minei mashkin, that is the halacha that any beverage that is drunk between the bracha rishona and the bracha achrona that is made over yayin is free. It is not necessary to make any bracha, and so is the halacha. Continues the Gemara, Amar Chizki Mishum Abaya, Hilchas that the halacha is concerning the machlokes Rav and Shmuel by nat bar nat, that dogim sha'alu b'kaira, that hot fish that went on a fleshik plate, mutar l'achla mekutach, you are allowed, like Shmuel says, to eat them with the dairy dip. Now, here, many of the words in this Hilchasa are carefully analyzed by the Rishonim. For example, the last word, Bekutach, the Meiri brings down an interesting shita of a Rishon, which is not Lahalach, we don't paskin like this, but he's Medayik, that you're only allowed to eat these fish with the Kutach when there's a Taruvis, a mixture of dairy in the dairy dip, because it's not totally dairy. It's mixed up with dairy. However, with milk itself, we would not be, even according to Shmuel, we would not be allowed to eat the fish which were hot on the meat plate directly together with milk. However, the halach is not like this. It doesn't make a difference whether it's kutach, a dairy dip, or whether it's cholov, totally dairy. It is mutter to eat the fish with the dairy. The Shach and the Taz in Yoredei Simon Tzadik Hei, they say that the word she'olu is b'diavad. Dogim she'olu b'kara mutter l'achol mekutach. If it happened after the fact, but they say that l'chatchila, for someone to plan this out, that he's going to roast the fish and then put it on a meat plate and then create a nut bar nut so that he could eat it together with the kutach, this would not be permitted. And the word she'olu is the source of a machlokas, which Tosus brings it down here in the bottom, Tosus, Hilchas the Dogim She'olu Bekara, where Tosus quotes the Ravon Chosnai. He was the son-in-law of Rashi. The Ravon quotes Rashi, Dafka Olu. Rashi's medayik only if the fish were placed on this meat plate. However, if they were cooked, let's say the fish were cooked in a meat pot, then they would not be permitted to be eaten with a kutach, because then it would not be noisentam bar noisentam. It would not be nut bar nut, but rather the power of the cooking would cause it to be considered a tam rishon. We would not say that the tam is diminished and it's a tam kolush, a weak tam. The power of the cooking would cause it to be a tam rishon, and therefore it would be prohibited. This is the sheet of Rashi. However, Tosfos and Rav Rishonim disagree. And they say that it makes no difference whether it is olu or it is nizbashlu, it was cooked in a meat pot, it would be permitted to be eaten together with the kutach. La halacha, the mechaberin siman tzadik hei sif beis, paskins like Tosfos, that it is permitted, even by bishul, and the ramah, there is machmer like Rashi that only olu but bishul would not be permitted with kutach, but he's machmer lechatchila. But if b'di'evet it got mixed up, the ingredients got mixed up of an egg or a fish that were cooked in a fleishig pot, and then it was mixed together with dairy, b'di'evet we would paskin like Tosfos that not only olu is permitted, but even bishul as well. Now, when do we say that l'chatchila one should not be mevashel the fish or the egg in a fleishig pot to be used with dairy? That's only if the fleishig pot is a ben yomo, says the Ramah. But if it is more than 24 hours that meat was cooked in that pot, it's an einay ben yomo, then the Ramah agrees that even l'chatchila one would be allowed to cook the fish in that meat pot and serve it together with the dairy. So this explains the first halacha that Chizki said in the name of Abaya concerning nut bar nut. And now Chizki tells us a second, a new halacha. Tznoin, if you have a radish, shechotcha besaken, that was cut with a meat knife, shechotcha babasar, that knife was used to cut meat, Aser la'oichloi bekutach, that tznon, that radish, cannot be eaten together with kutach. Although we paskin like Shmuel, that not barnat is mutter, for some reason, as we'll soon see, the cold radish that was cut with the knife that had been used with hot meat, which became a fleishig knife, now that cold radish cannot be eaten together with a kutach. And the Gemara explains, Vahani Mili, when is this? Tznoin, that's only by a radish, as we turn to Daf Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, the Agav Churfe, because of the sharpness of the radish, bola. It is boleya, it absorbs the taste of the meat that is in the knife. And here we will not say nut bar nut is mutter because of the sharpness. Although we're dealing with cold here, the sharpness of the tznon is equal to heat, Certainly according to Rashi, who says that Bishul would also not be not barnat because it's kechat haima, so too the sharpness of the radish would cause it not to be considered not barnat, but rather it would be like a tam rishon, and that's why the radish would not be permitted to be eaten with the kutach. And we will explain this fully as we learn the top Rashi on this Amud, but let us first learn the next halacha which Rashi is explaining. Avol kishois, but if we're speaking about squash, where the same thing happened, he took a fleshig knife and he cut squash. And now the question is he allowed to use the squash with the kutach? The din is, garur lebe piske, he scrapes away the place of the cut where the knife had cut the squash, he scrapes that away, v'ochel, and then he is allowed to eat it with the kutach. Whereas the radish, he's not allowed to eat with the kutach. Here, by the kishos, it's different. And now, because of the importance of this Rashi and the whole sugi here, and in understanding not barnat, let us learn the Rashi together inside. Says Rashi, top Rashi, kishois, mesukihi, the squash is sweet, ve'enei nivl b'toich, ele shamnunis tzof v'oimed amok mechtak. So Rashi brings to our attention a new concept, which we have to explain where Rashi got this from, because the Gemara doesn't explain this, but Rashi says we're dealing here with the fat that is on top of the knife. And that fat is mamush. That is not a tam, it's not something, a taste that was absorbed by the knife, but rather it is something that one can see and feel on top of the knife. So that fat of the meat is al mokam hachtach, it's on the area where the cut in the squash took place. Hilkach gor lebe piskeli, lemokam chatach goyre ma'at besaken, he scrapes away a little with his knife. Va'ochel af bekutach, and then the rest of the squash he's allowed to eat even with the kutach. So Rashi's telling us that since there's no sharpness in the squash, we only are concerned with the fat that the knife put on top of the squash when the cut was made, and he scrapes that fat away, and then he can eat the rest of the squash with kutach, because none of the taste of the fat was absorbed into the squash, because it is sweet. There's no sharpness. And now Rashi explains the whole Indian here. Hilkach. Dogim shalom bakara, mutul eichlam bakutach. Kiri Amar, Dein Noisen Tam, Haba Min Amamish, Ela Noisen Tam, Haba Min Noisen Tam. So when we're dealing with hot fish on a meat plate, one can eat those fish with kutach because we're only dealing with the taste that is absorbed into the plate. And that taste, which is then transmitted to the fish, is not coming from a primary source. It is a noisen tam, habomi noisen tam. The taste that goes from the plate in the fish is coming first from the meat that went into the plate. There was no direct contact between the meat and the fish. So it's twice removed, the taste in the fish, from the original meat. What about the fat? So Rashi says, the stam kara mekanchanaisa, a regular plate, we wipe it off, mishuman akorishla, from the fat that is on top of it. Why? Mishumias, it's disgusting. So that, people are very careful to make sure that they wipe off, they wash, they wipe off, and they make sure to have a clean plate without any shamnunis on it. Avol sakin, as the Bachas Goris here, but by a knife, people are not so careful with a knife. Pa'om mishashamnunis, Hashamnunis karush olav. Sometimes the knife has the layer of fat on it, the ain a nicker, and you don't see it clearly. Okay, shechaytech b'tznayin, when he cuts the radish, havi noisen tam habom min amamish. Then you have an actual layer of fat, not a taste, but a layer on top of the knife, and that is going into the radish. And it's nivla, it is absorbed by the radish. And that's why you can't eat that radish together with the kutach. You're not dealing here with a nut bar nut. You're dealing with a nice and tam from a mamish, that a primary source. And we learned before, Rashi says, on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, that when you're dealing with a Tam Rishon, Rashi and Divrei HaMaskil, Karish HaMalach Babasar Asa Lech Badvar HaSeich, towards one third of the Amud down, Lefisha Nivla Bo Hadam, V'Naisen Tam Rishon, Havi Kisar Gomer. Whenever you're dealing with Tam Rishon, that's an Isar Gomer. So when you're dealing with the fat that's on the knife, and that's being absorbed into the Tznon, so that is a Tam Rishon. That's like actual Isar, then of course you cannot use it with the Kutach. So that's the first thing that Rashi says about Shemnunis. Va'oid, and then Rashi brings what we find in the Gemara. The Mishum Churfei Bolatfei Midogam Araischem. Because the Tznon, the radish, has sharpness, it absorbs more than the hot fish which are on the plate. And then Rashi brings in a new thing. Va'agav Duch Kirisakin, and because of the pressure of the knife as it is cutting, Polat Sakina, so the knife let out the taste that it had absorbed from the meat, ubolatznoin, and the radish absorbs that taste. Now, this Rashi needs more explanation, but before we continue with explaining this Rashi, let us just summarize, first of all, what Rashi has taught us. He has taught us that the difference between a plate and a knife, because what the Gemara here basically is trying to answer, why in fact is there any difference between a fish on plate, which is nice and tam bar nice and tam, and a knife, a meat knife that's cutting a radish. Again, it's the tom of the meat in the knife, and then that tom is going, that taste is going into the radish, and then it's going into the kutta. So again, you have nois and tam bar nois and tam. What's the distinction? So Rashi offered at the beginning of Rashi one distinction with the fat. A plate doesn't have fat, it's washed off, and a knife, people are not so careful, and they leave a film of fat on the knife. Therefore, by the plate, it's a nut bar nut, and by the knife, you're dealing with a mamish, you're dealing with the shuman itself. It's not a nut bar nut, and that's why it's awesome. And then Rashi told us, even if there wouldn't be any fat on the knife, let's say you wiped it off and cleaned it off and washed it off, and you know for sure there is no fat on the knife. So that distinction falls away. But there's still a distinction between a plate and a knife, because A, the plate you're dealing with not a sharp item. You're dealing with fish on a meat plate. And B, you don't have any pressure of a knife by a plate, whereas by a knife, you have pressure of the knife. So the sharpness of the tznon, the radish, together with the pressure of the knife, that causes the tznon to absorb more than you find by fish on a fleshic plate. But there, it's considered not bar not mutter. And here, as Tosfos in Divrei HaMaskil, Hilchasa, the last Tosfos on Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, approximately in the middle of that Tosfos, says, Mishum de agav churfei bolatfei v'choshev kechatamo. I don't look anymore at the taste that is absorbed in the tznon as being a nut bar nut, as going into the knife from the meat, and then from the meat going into the tznon, that it's doubly removed from the meat to the radish. No, it's considered as if it went directly from the meat into the radish. It's only once removed. It's only tam rishon. And Rashi told us already that tam rishon, we have to look at it as iser gomer, because of the sharpness of the radish, even though we're dealing here with cold. But from the sharpness of the radish, it absorbs that taste and makes this double taste, not into double, but to a single strength. It's not kolish, it's not weak. It's a strong, single tam rishon, and that's why it will prohibit the from eating it together with the kuta. Before we explain Rashi in more detail, we just have to know how much of the tznon is in fact usser. When we say that the tznon is usher to eat with kutach, how much becomes usher? So the Rosh says that a klipa, A klipa means a thin layer is cut off in one slicing. The lashon of the Ran is klipa tzricha liyos gasek tzas. It has to be a little thick. Kidei shetucha lihinatul kuloi keechad, so that you're able to remove it like an orange peel. You peel it off in one action and you take the whole thing. It's not scraping. It's more than scraping. It's taking off a single layer, a single peel. That's the sheet of the Rosh. The rest of the Kutach, the rest of the Tznon, rather, would be permitted with the Kutach. However, the Ran brings the Rivet and the Ra'ah. Their opinion is that it's also Kedei Netila. More, the width of a thumb is prohibited. The Rashba sheet is that the entire Tznon becomes permeated and saturated with the Tam of the Basar, and therefore the entire Tznon cannot be eaten with the Kutach. Halacha l'maisa, the Mechaber and Siman Tzadik Vav Sif Aleph Paskins, like the Rivet, that you need Kedei Netila. However, the Ramah says, l'chatchila we're machmir like the Rashba, that the whole entire Tznon is prohibited. B'dieved, if it was already used together, the dairy and the meat that was in the Tznon was used together, then we paskin like the Rivet, that you need Kedei Netila. Now, the questions that have to be answered on this Rashi are two questions. Number one, Rashi introduced Duchkere Sakina when the Gemara only spoke about Agav Churfei Bola. The Tznon, the top words on the Amid here, Agav Churfei Bola, because of the sharpness Bolea. Rashi adds that this Duchkere Sakina. Why did Rashi add that? A second question on Rashi is, where does Rashi bring the whole union of Shamnunis? We don't find Shamnunis. We're discussing Tam in the Gemara. There's no Be'en, there's no Mamish. Rashi introduces Shamnunis. Why does Rashi introduce Shamnunis if we have, in fact, the union of Agav Churfei and we don't mention Shamnunis? So let's answer the first question. And here we have two terutzim. One is the Tosfos HaRosh, and the other is the Sefer Taurus Chaim. So the Tosfos HaRosh says that the reason Rashi brought in Duchkere Sakina, because, for example, if someone would take a radish and put it next to the sharp radish, and you would put it next to meat, we would not say that the radish absorbs, even though it has a churfei, that it absorbs the tam of the meat and therefore would be also to eat with a kutach. So therefore, Rashi understood that besides the sharpness of the tznon, there has to be something that brings it out from the knife, and that's the duchkere sakina. The duchkere sakina, the pressure of the knife takes it out of the knife, and then the sharpness of the radish brings it into the radish, and then it's usher to eat with the kutach. The Taurus Chaim explains it in a different way. We learned further that by the squash, it's necessary to make gera. So the question is, why? Why is it different than a plate which has nut bar nut, a plate with hot fish on a meat plate? We say that it's mutter, and it means it's mutter legamri. It's not necessary to scrape or to wash off. So why over here by the squash do we say that he has to scrape it off? The answer is because by the plate we don't have duchkere sakina, whereas by the tznon we have a knife that's making pressure, says the Taurus Chaim, that here we have the difference between the tznon and the kishus, because the knife makes pressure and it causes the tam, the taste, to be emitted from the knife. Now comes along the tznon with its sharpness, and it absorbs that which the knife, the tam that the knife emitted. Whereas, and therefore it's also to eat with the kutach. Whereas the squash, the kishois, einachanami, the knife causes the tam to be emitted. And that's why scraping, says the Taurus Chaim, is necessary to take away the tom that has come out of the knife and that is lying, according to the Taras Chaim, on the surface of the squash. That's why you have to scrape it off. We'll soon see the Rashi and the Ran ask, why can't you wash it off? We'll answer that question in a moment. But the point is, according to the Taras Chaim, the Duchid Sakina is the factor that's always causing the tom to be emitted from the knife. Now, there's a difference between a tznon and the kishas. The tznon will then, through its sharpness, absorb that taste, and therefore the tznon will become prohibited, whereas the kishas is sweet, and it doesn't absorb the taste. But the taste has been emitted from the knife, and it's on the surface of the kishas. That's why you need scraping, and it would seem that this Taras Chaim is not like the Sefer Yad Yehuda, because the Sefer Yad Yehuda says that the halacha, that scraping is necessary by kishas, is only according to the first reason of Rashi, that Rashi says that there's an inyan here of shamnunis, of fat. But Einech Nami, if you washed off the knife and there was no shamnunis, according to the Yad Yehuda, you would not have to scrape off the kishas. Apparently, the Yad Yehuda holds that even though there's duchir sakina, but since you don't have any sharpness of the squash because it's sweet, therefore not only won't it absorb anything, but there will not be any tom emitted from the knife at all, and therefore you won't even have to wash it off or scrape it off. It will not be necessary according to the Yad Yehuda. And the whole Gemara says the Yad Yehuda that says that you have to scrape it off is only if we're learning that a regular knife, if it wasn't checked and it wasn't made sure to remove the shamnunis, is becheskas, it's assumed that it does have shamnunis on it, whereas a plate is washed off, as Rashi says, because it's mius, it's disgusting, and people make sure to clean off the shamnunis. So if there's shamnunis on it, then you have to scrape that place. But if there's no shamnunis, according to Yad Yehuda, you don't have to do anything. Whereas according to the Taras Chaim, Einech Nami, there's no tom by the squash that's nivla inside the squash, but there is surface tom that was emitted from the knife onto the squash, and that will have to be scraped off. As to why you need scraping, and why doesn't Hadache help washing it off, on that the Ran and the Rashba answer, that since squash are rachin and lachin, they're soft and they're moist, if you would in fact wash off the squash, it would cause that the tom that's on the surface, either of the shamnunis, according to the Yad Yehuda, or of the tom that was emitted from the knife, according to the Taras Chaim, that would penetrate further through the softness and moisture of the kishus. It would go into the kishus, and you wouldn't get it out. So therefore, the eitzah by kishus, instead of washing it off, you scrape it off. As to the final question that we asked on Rashi, why did Rashi introduce the inyan of shamnunis, which is not mentioned in the Gemara? So that the Taisus HaRash answers that when Rashi said shamnunis, einech nami, the shamnunis has to come on to the fact that there is sharpness. Because if you wouldn't come on to the inyan of sharpness, why isn't it enough? If it's only on the surface, there's fat. So it's on the surface, so you wash it off. By, in the case of a tznon, of a radish. Why do we say that the whole tznon becomes usher to eat with kutach, or a klipa, or a netila, or the whole thing according to the Rashba? How does it get penetrated? So therefore, Rashi learned the Gemara in the first part of Rashi. Agav Churfe means there's something fatty, and that fat, you know why you have to prohibit the tznon, and washing or scraping will not help? The answer is because you have the factor of Agav Churfe. So Rashi understood that Agav Churfe is like the second part of the equation of why it's usher. It's shamnunis on the surface, and therefore, Agav Churfe, it will be nivla into the tznon, and will prohibit it with the kutach. But we have to say that Einech Nami, according to the second pshat of Rashi, that there's a combination of Churfe and Duchir Sakina, you don't need the aspect of Shamnunis. Even if the knife is totally clean and washed off, and there's absolutely no Shamnunis there, it'll be prohibited, it's known, because you have a double factor. The Duchir Sakina pushes out the tom from the knife, and the Churfe of the Tznon absorbs it within the tznon, and therefore becomes usser. Kilche de lifta, continues the Gemara, if he cut turnip stalks, shori, then it is permitted, that fleshig knife that cut the turnip stalks, it's permitted to eat the turnips with kutach, because the turnips are like kishus, they are sweet, and therefore they're permitted. Ask the Rashi ben Rashi, according to Rashi, that we're learning this whole sugi here, they're speaking about shamnunis. So if there is shamnunis, why isn't hadacha necessary? And they answer, in the Hanami, you do have to wash it off, and the Gemara is just saying that you don't need greira here. But Einech Nami, Hadocha will be necessary because you have to remove the Shamnunis that's on the turnips, the silka. If he cut silka with a fleshig knife, silka, beets, has a halacha like a radish, tznon, it's a dover charif, and therefore it will not have any heterim of nat bar nat, or of the shamnunis not being absorbed. It will absorb a tam rishon, and therefore asiri, it's usur to eat it together with the dairy dip with the kutach. And the mechaber in Siman Tzadik Vav paskins that silka has the halacha of tznon. A beet has the halacha of a radish, both for isur and for heter. Let us see the next piece of Gemara, ve'i potach behu delifta. Shaper dummy. What does that mean? Says the Rabbeinu Gershon, Kolomer, Sakin shechotach babosser. He had a knife that cut meat. V'koidem shenechtach silka. Before he cut the beets, first chotach by the lifta. He first cut turnips. Demash shehoyu by tam basser b'sakin. That tam that was in the knife, hever halifta. Achrikain shori lemifsika silka umichla b'kutach. So, as the Mechaber used the Lashon, that the lift and the turnips have a tam mishuna, they have a strange taste, and they nullify the taste of the meat that would have gone from the knife into the beets, because in between the meat being cut and the beets being cut, there was the turnips that were cut. That turnip will nullify the taste of the meat in the knife, and then, if he cut the beets, those beets would be permitted to be eaten with the kutach. That's shapir dami. And so this is where the Mechaber says that just like we said that silka beets have the same halacha as tznon for iser, that if they were cut with a meat knife, you cannot use it with kutach, so leheter, that if the liften, just like if it precedes the silka, we say you can then cut the silka and use it with the kutach. So too, if before cutting the tznon, the radish, he first cut the liften, again, the liften will take away the tam basser, and then he can cut the tznon, the radish, and eat it with the kutach. Boy, minay Rav Dimi, min Rav Nachman, ma'ul anuchi kada de milcha gabi kada de kimcha. He asked him the question, can you put a jug of salt next to a jug of kimcha, which is kutach? And what is the chashash? Rashi says, because maybe some of the kutach, which is dairy, will fall on the salt, and he won't notice that there is dairy on the salt, then he'll take that salt and he'll use it in a meat dish and that he's cooking, and it'll come out to be basar b'cholov. Amalei aser. He said, Einich nami, it's aser. The chalamai, he asked him, what about vinegar? The same thing. Can I put vinegar next to the kutach? Because maybe the kutach will fall in the vinegar, and then he'll use the vinegar for the meat. Amalei shor, he said, that's mutter. Umayshna. He asked him back, Rav Dimi asked Rav Nachman, what is the difference between the two? And Rav Nachman responded, L'chi techel, Allah, kura, de melcha. When the word techel, we've had a few times here, Masech Techulim, means when you will measure for me a entire large measurement, a kura de milcha, a kura of salt, I will explain it to you. We find the same Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Dalet, Amid Aleph, where Rav Nachman, to the question that was asked him there, responded the same way. And Rashi gives two pshatim, either that one was beduchasa, he said it in a light, joking manner. And the second pshat, Rashi says, means lechitechel, does not mean measure, but it means when you will eat. And Rashi explains that even if you'll eat such a large amount as a kur of salt, you will not be able to see the similarity between these two things, because one is totally different than the other, as Rav Nachman goes on to explain. I once heard from my Rebbe in Yeshiva Seitz Chaim in Toronto, Canada, Hagoyin Rav Moshe Kaplan Zitzal, who was from the Chasheva Mirror Talmidim. He said over a pshat from the Shari Yosher, Rav Shimon Shkop, in the Agdoma to his Sefer, where Rav Shimon does not discuss this Gemara, but Rav Moshe Kaplan wanted to zustel, compare what Rav Shimon said pertaining to a Gemara in Bava Kamba in the sugya of Zenen of Azele Chosser, where there a question was asked by Rav Chizda to Rami Bar Chama to explain him something, and Rami Bar Chama told him, L'chita shamishli, if you'll do an act of service for me, and the Gemara says that Rav Chizda shakal sudre, that he took his Rami Bar Chama's article of clothing and korach lay, he folded it over, he did a service for him. And the Shari Yosher of Shimon there in the Agdama to his Sefer brings from his brother-in-law Rav Shlomo Zalman Ebel from Telz that the pshat is that when a person wants to know a distinction between two things, very often it will be a very deep insight and a lot of thinking is required, as the Sefer Shari Yosher is, very deep analytical thinking. And if the person doesn't get it, he doesn't understand it, he will say it's probably the chesaron in the melamed, in the one who's teaching. Therefore, Rav Nachman in the Gemara in Shabbos, and likewise over here, and actually Rami Bar Chama in the Gemara in Bava Kamma, Zenen of Azele Chosser, he said, do an act of service for me. And if you do an act that an Eved does for his Rav, or a Talmud does for his Rebbe, so you will gain a Cheshivas in the Melamed, then when you don't understand it, you won't shrug it off and say, it doesn't make sense. You will realize that you have to work on it. You have to delve deeper into it in order for you to comprehend what your Rebbe is saying. Because your Rebbe is an Adam Gadol. And how have you shown that? By doing an act of servitude to him. So you've subjected yourself to him. So once you know that he's a great person and the thing he's saying is a deep thing, you'll understand that you have to put in the effort to make the distinction, to think about it clearly. So although the Gemara here does not say, as it does in Bava Kamma, in that sugya, that he actually measured out the kur of salt, and as a reward, Rav Nachman explained him the pshat. But my Rebbe, Rav Moshe Kaplan, wanted to say that we could say that it actually happened. He did this act for him here, and once he did the act, then he went ahead and he said, now you'll appreciate what I'm saying because you appreciate who is saying it, and if you don't understand it, you'll work hard to comprehend it. What is the chilek, my time? What is the difference between salt and vinegar? Hi, is he surbeine v'hai, less he surbeine, because, as Rashi explains, if the kutach falls into the salt, so the kutach is very thick and it's noticeable. However, when we're dealing with vinegar, it will get diluted in the vinegar. It won't be noticeable. And even the taste of it will be bottled. As the Ritva says, Mistam aloi nafel kuli hai kidei litan tam. Probably not so much of the vinegar of the kutach fell into the vinegar to give it a taste. And as the Miri adds, Shafila yipoil besoichoi umisarav besoichoi yibotel besamach. Even if it does fall in, it'll be botel besamach. Therefore, you could put the kutach next to the vinegar because it'll be botel. It won't be discernible. Whereas in the salt, it will not be botel, and therefore he might come to bring it and put it onto the meat, and therefore it is asur. Tosfos says in Divrei Maskil Maula Nuche, says Tosfos, that the whole question over here is about salt, because maybe somebody won't be careful. But if you have basar, meat right next to dairy, that people will be careful that one shouldn't spill on the other. And therefore, even though it's open, there's no covering, one would be permitted to do it. The Ritva says no, it's only permitted uncovered if you put Isser next to Heter, you put some treif next to some kosher, because that people will be very careful that one should not spill into the other. But if you put meat next to milk, since both are really mutter, it's only when they're mixed together that they're usser, people will not be so careful, and therefore you're not allowed to keep it together. La loch lemaisa, the Mechaber and Simon Tzadikei Sifvov says that it is permitted to put in one container a jar of meat and a jar of dairy, like Tosfos says. The Ramah, however, brings v'yesh machmirim lichatchila that one should not do this, like the Ritva said, that only Isser and Heter can be put together, but not Basar B'chol, because people are not so careful in it. And the Shach in Sifkat and Chavdal says that this whole halach is only when they are Megula, when they're open, there's no covering. But if there's a covering, everyone agrees you could put one next to the other, and therefore lichatchila, because of the sheet of the Ritva, in a refrigerator, when people keep dairy next to meat, they should make sure that both items should be covered. Continues the Gemara, Ahu Bar Goyzla, there was this young pigeon, as the Rabbeinu Gershom explains, that it was chai, it was raw, nafal, and it's going to fall into a kutach. Loitzli v'loi mevushel, was not roasted, and it was not cooked. Avo maliyah chayah, so the Rabbeinu Gershom learns that the young pigeon was salted. So ahu bar goizle, this young pigeon that was salted, not roasted or cooked, nafal, akata dekimcha, it fell into a jar of kutach, of the dairy dip, and the question is, did the pigeon absorb from the dairy dip? And especially the kutach is salt, there is salt in it, and we know malich kereseach, that salt is like heat. So one would say that the pigeon absorbed from the dairy, and therefore it should be prohibited to eat the pigeon. So Rav Chinen, the son of Rav Pashreine, was matter to eat the pigeon after the pigeon meat was rinsed from the kutach that was on it. And he had no concern that the dairy kutach penetrated into the pigeon. Amar Rava, man chokim lemishri kehai gavna ilav Rav Chinen b'reid Rav Pishreini. Who could permit this if not for the wisdom of Rav Chinena? Why? Kesavr, he's of the opinion. Ki Amar Shmuel, when did Shmuel say melich harei kuseach? That normally the thing would be bolea, the pigeon would have been bolea from the heat of the salt. Hani mili, when do I say that? Hecha de'ena nechel machas molchei. That's only if it's not eaten because of its salt. It's so salty that one cannot eat it. Avalhai kutcha. But this dip, you're able to eat it. The dip has an ingredient of salt, but you're able to eat the dip. Now, Rashi says that the thing that was salted here was the dip, as is mashma from the Gemara we just read. And the Gemara's gears, according to Rashi, is avalhai kutcha, harinechel machmas molchai. However, if you look in Rabbeinu Gershom leaves out the word kutcha. And his gear says, Aval hai, this nechel machmas molchai. Kloimer, what does this mean? Hai bar yoina, this pigeon, loy hoya maliach biyoiser, it wasn't salted very much. Veloy bola chai, and it was raw, and therefore was not boleya. So again, the Rabbeinu Gershom Lishitasoi against Rashi, it's not the kutach that we're concerned about the salt, but we're speaking about the pigeon, that the pigeon was salted, but you were able to eat it in spite of its being salted. So on that, such a salt does not generate the heat that Shmuel spoke about, that Maliach Harei Kereseach. Vahani Mili, says the Gemara, when do we say that Chai? That's only if the pigeon was raw. Avol tzli, but if it had been roasted, and it fell into the kutach, boy klipa, then it is necessary, as Rashi says, to take away the outer layer, milmailasaviv, the outer layer around the entire pigeon would have to be removed, and then he could eat the rest of the pigeon. Ve'i ispepili, and if the pigeon had cuts and cracks, kule osir, then it is totally osir because the kutach will penetrate into the cuts and the cracks. Ve'i mitval betalvan, if it was seasoned with spices. So as Rashi explains, the spices soften up the meat to a very great extent. Again, the halacha is kulei oser. It is then totally prohibited because the seasoning of the spices causes that the kutach will penetrate throughout the young pigeon. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, kikir shechatech ale abasar, a loaf of bread on which meat had been cut. Asur l'achol, it's asur, prohibited to eat that loaf of bread. Vahani milid asmik, that's only if the blood that was coming out looked red. Vahani milid avri, it's only when it went from one side of the bread to the other side. Vahani milid asmik, it's only if it's thick. Avok lishusa, but if it is thin, less lumba, then we say that it is permitted because it is not dumb. Now, the Mephoshim explain here that actually, even if it's thick and it goes from side to side, it is not real dumb that is coming out. It's really just a juice that's coming out, because the Rashi says we're speaking about meat that had been roasted and it's hot, and the Ran says that it was cooked kemaichel ben drasoi, which means it was at least either half or a third cooked, and by that time the blood that was in this piece of meat has already gone out of the meat through the roasting process. At that point, if you were to cut it on a piece of bread, the Gemara is saying it's oser, and the reason is not because it's really dumb, but because maris ayin, it looks like dumb. And that's why we make these chalukim here. It has to be red. If it's not red, not. It has to go from side to side. It has to be thick. But if it's thin, it's mutter. That's all because really it's not dumb. It's just an iser of maris ayin. So if it is not red, and it's not thick, and it's not going from side to side, then we say there's no mar sign. People don't even think that it is dumb, and therefore it'll be mutter. Shmuel shalilei lekalbei. In such a situation, Shmuel would throw the piece of bread to his dog. Rav Huna yavla l'shamer. Rav Huna gave it to his attendant. Answer the Gemara, manavshach. Ishari, if it's really mutter, so lekal yamishari, then it should be permitted even to Rav Huna, e oser, and if Rav Huna held that this is prohibited, so the calling am oser, why could he refrain from it, and yet he would give the issue to his attendant? Answers the Gemara, really, he held Rav Huna that it was mutter. But shiny Rav Huna, danina daita, he was an itzdenis, he was a pedantic person, and even though it was not considered dumb at all, and he considered it permissible, however, he did not want, because of his very pedantic feelings, he didn't even want to eat something that had any connection to coming out from meat that would have some connection to blood, even though definitely was not blood, and therefore he gave it to his shamus, who didn't mind eating this bread, but Rav Huna, because of his pedantic nature, did mind, and that's why he refrained from eating it. Rava achalei v'korlei chamar basar. Rava would eat this bread, and he would call that fluid that oozed out from the meat the wine of flesh. Rav Yonishin Steifzitzal, in his sefer Chadashim Gam Yishanim, explains that he also felt that it's mutter, but there were those who had prohibited it because of maris ayin, and that's why whenever he ate it, he would say, I am eating the bread that has on it the wine of meat. So people would know when he would give that expression, the wine of meat, that was the fluid that was really mutter, and just to make sure that people would not have maris ayin that he was doing something wrong, he would make the announcement that he's eating the bread with the wine of meat. Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, Eima Nichin Kli Tachas Abasar, we learned before on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis that they used to put a bay dugi, which was a receptacle for dripping fat, when meat was roasting. One cannot put that receptacle under the meat. Achi Yichle Kol Marat Dam Du Mishboy, until the fluid that is oozing out, all redness has left it, because if there's still redness coming out, then we say that that is dumb, and that blood will mix together with the fats, and therefore the fat will be prohibited because of the dumb. And how do we know when exactly it takes place that there is no more redness coming out? At what point can we say, now we can begin to take the fat? Marzutra, Mishmedra, Papa Amr, Mishatalatim Rasai. Rashi brings down two pshatim concerning this column of smoke when it goes up. Either it refers to the meat, when the dam, the real blood, has oozed out, then the meat begins to smoke, or it refers to the gecholim, the coals. As long as blood is coming out, it causes the gecholim to get extinguished. It is only once the dam is totally removed and the fat goes down on the coals that this causes smoke to rise. Maskula Ravashi Vidilma Tato Mata Iloloi Mata. Maybe the bottom piece of the meat has reached the point where all the blood has been taken out, the bottom part that's near the fire, so the fire has taken out all the blood of the bottom. And that's why it's beginning to smoke, either the meat or the coals. However, Iloloi Mata, maybe the top part of the meat still has dum in it, and the dum is going to get mixed up with the Shuman. Elom Ravashi. Ravashi said, Lesle the Takanta. There is no Eitzel, Mishdube Tarte Galilei Milcha. The only Eitzel is to throw in two lumps of salt. Of course, he could wait until he roasts it, until at least it's halfway roasted, where we say for sure all the blood is out. But at that point, there's very little fat that comes down. The fat usually is collected before it is halfway roasted. So therefore, the only eitzah, if you want to collect the fat, you want to put the receptacle down, it's the only eitzah is to throw there two lumps of salt, and then the blood that comes out, you'll put down the receptacle at the beginning of the roasting. There is dum that's coming up, but that dum will get attracted to the salt, and then as we turn to Daf Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis, Umishafyeh, and then he will gently, as Rashi explains, pour off the fat from the top surface of the beidugi, of the receptacle. That fat will not be connected to the blood because the blood has gotten attracted to the two lumps of salt that were thrown into the pan, and then he'll be able to use that Shuman. Rashi brings down from Ra'isi Behilchas Gedoilus, I saw in the Bahag that Bedafka the Gemara says these two lumps of salt are put in, which is a very small amount. But more than that, says Rashi, the salt would be so powerful that it would cause the thick blood to be thinned out. It would become a very moving liquid, and that liquid would then mix together with the shuman, and once again I'd have a problem of eating the shuman together with the dam. Therefore, it has to be bedafka, a small amount of salt, so the blood gets attracted to the salt, but the salt is not strong enough to thin out the blood, which would cause a problem with the shuman. So says Rashi in the name of the Bahag. Omer le Ravachabred Ravikil Ravashi, Sir Ravachabred Ravikil said to Ravashi, Umi Omer Shmuel Hachi, did then Shmuel say what we learned on Amid Aleph? Omer of Nachman Omer Shmuel, Eimenichen Kli Tachas Basar, Achiyich Lekol Mara Adam Mumis Shaboi, that you cannot put the Beidugi, the receptacle for the dripping fat, under the meat when it's roasting, until all the redness has gone away from the fluids that are emitting from the meat. When Shmuel said something else, Va'amar Shmuel, Kikor Shechatech Alei Basar, Asur La'achlo. If you cut a piece of roasted meat on bread, you're not allowed to eat the bread because there will be dum oozing out of the meat, which will prohibit you from eating the bread. But Rashi says you're talking about something that's roasted here. And if it's already roasted, then there is no more dum, as we see from the other halacha. So there's a stira in Shmuel. Answers the Gemara, regularly it is correct that after roasting, whatever fluid comes out is shamnunis, is fats of the meat. It's not blood. But shiny hasam, it is different over there concerning cutting meat on bread. The agav duchkir sakina palit, because you have the pressure of the knife, that will cause the little blood that is left in the meat to be emitted from the meat. As long as it's in the meat, it's dame vorm shalai polat, blood that's in the organ that did not come out is not usur to eat. However, by the pressure of the knife as you're cutting the meat, it will cause that dam to come out. The roasting process will not bring that dam out. And whatever comes out after the amdumis, the redness goes away, is shuman and is permitted. But when you're using the pressure of a knife, the knife will cause the dum to come out, and that will prohibit the bread. Amar Rav Nachman, or as the Gilyon HaShas brings from the Rif and the Rush, the Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, because on Amud Aleph we had the first memra of Rav Nachman, the name of Shmuel, concerning putting the beidugi under the meat. And now there is a second memra of Rav Nachman in the name of Shmuel. And this concerns dogim v'oifis, fish and fowl, shamolchon zemzer, that were salted one next to the other, asurin. The fish is prohibited. And the Gemara wants to know, hey, chidami, what is the exact case? E b'kli she'en menukav, if we're talking about a vessel that is non-perforated, as Rashi brings down from the Gemara in Kufyud Gimel Amid Aleph, it says, ein molchen basar el al gabe kli menukav. We only salt meat to let out the blood in a perforated vessel, because if the vessel is not perforated, lefisha adam hayoitze nishar b'kli v'chayzer v'nivla b'basar, says Rashi. The blood that is emitted from the flesh, from the meat, in the salting process will remain in the keli, and then it will be reabsorbed in the meat, and then it has gone out from the meat, it becomes usur, it goes back into the meat, it becomes usur to eat the dum, and it becomes usur to eat the meat that was bolei of that dum. So if we're talking about a kli she'ein manuk, if it's not perforated, so why do you tell me the halacha that it's only the fish that are prohibited to be eaten? Afilu oifis v'oifis nami asiri. Then even if it's birds, fowl meat with fowl meat, it should also be usur, because all the meat there in this pot, which is not perforated, is sitting in the blood, and it will reabsorb, all the pieces will reabsorb the blood, and therefore they should all become prohibited. E b'kli menukav, and if you were speaking about a case when you salted the fish and the fowl in a perforated keli, afilu dogim v'oifis nami shari, then even fish and birds should also be permitted, as Rashi says. After all, how is this different than if you have two pieces of meat together in a perforated keli? Even though there might be some blood coming out from the top layer of meat to the bottom layer, we say it doesn't prohibit the bottom layer of meat, because since it's a kli minukov, the dum will be drawn out of the keli. So here too, by dogim v'oifis, if it's perforated, everything should be mutter, because the blood has a way to leave the keli, and the fish are not sitting in the blood, and therefore they should be permitted, just like the halach is by two pieces of meat. Answers the Gemara, loyla mekli menukav. Really, we're speaking about a perforated keli. But not like you assumed, that the reason why in a perforated keli it's mutter, because the blood has a way to exit, and that's why it wouldn't prohibit two pieces of oifis, and it wouldn't prohibit, logically, you're saying, the fish and the oifis as well. No. There's another svora here that's involved. And here we see the distinction between fish and fowl versus two pieces of fowl. The dogim by fish, mishum derufik hermaya, because their skin is soft, kadmi upalti, so the juices that come out from the fish are emitted quickly. V'oifos kmiti, on the other hand, the skin of the fowl is very tight. The skin is constricted, and therefore the dum that comes out of the ofos comes out very slowly. So what happens is, basur d'naichi dogim, when the fish have completed letting out all their juices through the soft skin of the fish, pliti oifos, the fowl, the birds, are still emitting dum. V'hoder balei minei, and then the fish will be boleya from the ofos. So it's not like you said that if you have a keli menukav perforated, the blood has a way to escape, and therefore it should make no difference between ofos and ofos, or dagim and ofos. No, there's a difference for here, as Rashi explains. In Divrei HaMaskel V'Oifos Kmiti, the last words of the Rashi, V'chol zman shatachton torid b'pleita, eina boleya. When you are working with two pieces of meat, which have the same cycle, so they're both being polaid at the same time, then we have a rule, either the treaty lemiflid loibali, which means that when meat is busy emitting blood, it is not able at the same time to absorb blood from anywhere else, or or taste from anywhere else. It's busy emitting. It cannot be boleya. So that's why when you have two pieces of meat, when you have two eifos being salted at the same time, so then one cannot be boleya from the other because each one is busy being pole. Whereas by eifos and dogim, even in a kli menukav, which is perforated, but the resicha of the salt will cause that when the dogim stop being polate their tzir, their juices, and the eifos are still being polate their dum, then the dogim will be boleya through the heat of the salting process, maliach karaseh, they will be boleya the dum, and that's why the dogim will be prohibited. So the chilek between two pieces of meat and between the eifos and dogim is based on this rule of ayidi the treaty lemiflet loy bali. Now, we should point out that Rashi, at the beginning of the sugya in the Divrei HaMaskil Dogim Va'Eifos, says that lav dafka eifos the chol shchein basar acher lefishu kashmi basar eifos. When it says over here that you're salting the fish and the fowl together, the fish become prohibited because they're boleya from the dam of the eifos. Rashi says that it doesn't mean necessarily only eifos, even if, and certainly if you had regular meat from an animal. That is certainly, that's even stronger. It's emits more dung than the dung of ofos. And certainly, if you were salting together fish with regular meat, it would prohibit the fish. Again, this sugi is all based on Idi Tree Lemifer Leibali, and we'll just end with a Dvar Hashkafa. There are those who say when a person is mashpia on others, when he takes time to have influence on other people, at the same time, he cannot be boleya. He cannot absorb outside influences, which may be negative, if he's busy being mashpia. I did treat it the miflet. If a person's osake in teaching others and being mashpia on others, he is not susceptible to absorb bad influences from the world around.